You may just be seated briefly. Just hold the bread, hold the cup in your hand, just hold it, sit down, and I will tell us what we're going to do next. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I have 12 instructions to share with us tonight, but I will only share 6 of them, as God will enable us, we will share the other 6 at the start of the second half of this year. And by the grace of God, by the start of the second half of this year, you will have started experiencing the new season and the new thing God has promised you in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 43, if we can all read together, please let's read the word of God together. If you can bring it on the screen, and let's read from the New King James Version. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and we read from verse 1. Okay, well, they are making ready. That reminds me of, in the book of Acts, and Paul came to a city. No, was it Peter? He was on the rooftop. And the Bible said as they were making ready, he fell into a trance. And God began to show him a ministry that he had called him onto. Not to call whatever God has sanctified, cleansed, not to call it common. I'm just saying that by the Spirit. Somebody needs to hear that. God has sanctified what you are calling common. Don't call it common. Be expectant. All right, let's go. One, two, go. We read together. But now, okay, you know what? Let me read verse 1 and you read verse 2. So that way we are exchanging. Verse 1, Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Verse 2. Verse 3, for I read that. Tonight is a night of instructions. So follow, please tell somebody follow instructions. Okay, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Verse 4. And verse 5, I read, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Verse 5, verse 6. Verse 7, for everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Verse 8. Verse 9. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Verse 10. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Verse 12.
I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. There was no God among you.
There And verse 13, indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Verse 14. Rejoicing in their ships. And verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 16, in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. And verse 17, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power? They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Verse 18. Verse 19. Behold, I will do. Please, let's read it together. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. One more time. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Please, one more time. Please shout it out. Please shout it out loud. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Please lift up your hands. Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Everything you have said, everything you are saying, Lord, I receive. Be it unto me a new thing. Be it unto me a new season. Be it unto me, Lord, that river in the wilderness, that road in the desert, that, Lord God Almighty, I just receive the impossible. And I thank you. And I say, Lord, speak to me. For I am listening. I bring to us what I will title Instructions for 2020. Instructions for 2020. Now, today is the beginning of the end of 2020. Start now. Sowing each day what you want to reap at the latter end of 2020. What do we mean by that? 2020 started yesterday. Today is another day. But do you realize that as one day ends, another day begins? And as each day pile up, we're going towards the end of 2020. So today is the beginning of the end of 2020. But there is a latter end of 2020, which will be the final days, final hours of this same year. Now, God has set something in principle. It is called seed time and harvest. If you want to reap a harvest, then in the time to sow seeds, you sow. Don't expect harvest if you have not sown when it's seed time. So the harvest is the latter end of 2020. Whatever you start doing now at the beginning of the end is what you will reap at the latter end. Now, that's just the foundation of what the six instructions I will just share with us. And please hold in your hand the bread, the wine, and just keep praying as this word comes, that God will open your eyes indeed. You will hear, you will not forget. You will hear instructions and you will obey. Instruction number one. Always ask the Holy Spirit for help in everything and for everything this year. Always ask the Holy Spirit for help in everything and for everything this year. In everything, ask for help. For everything, ask for help. Because you are not alone. You are not helpless. God has not designed and thrown us into this earth helplessly to become orphans. So that's the first instruction. You have the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the people here can help us type the instructions. I don't know how fast you are. But it's been recorded. So if you can't write everything down, just jot the major points. So that's instruction number one. I'm only giving us six. You are not helpless, you have the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the only way you will not experience the Holy Spirit, this is not instruction, this is just an addendum to instruction number one. The only way you will not experience or enjoy the ministry, the help of the Holy Spirit, is if you are still holding on, listen, to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. It will shut the help of the Holy Spirit to you. The Bible tells us one thing the Holy Spirit does when he comes in us is that he brings in the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. So if the love of God comes with the Holy Spirit and we hold on to unforgiveness, we shut that love. So if you're walking in unforgiveness, you don't have the Holy Spirit with working for you anymore or helping you, because the Holy Spirit is not going to help you to hold grudges this year. You want the new, put away the old. Number two instruction. Put off permanently and don't put back on what you have decided to forget last year. Put off permanently and don't put back on what you have decided to forget last year. And these are past pains and past gains. Put them off. This is a new season. This is a new thing God has begun. But you've got to put off, not temporarily, but permanently, what you have decided to put off. Put them off. Don't put them back on. It is your decision to put them off. Don't put them back on. Now, sharing with my wife something I learned recently, especially during the time of the retreat, about what it means to humble yourself. You realize that the Bible says we do the humbling. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt us. Now, let me give us the simplest definition of what it means to humble yourself. To humble yourself, that word humble, humility, is from the root humus, which is the soil, which is the earth. Humble. So to humble yourself means to put yourself back to the earth. I'm just saying in a figurative speech now. I hope I'm right using that word, figurative speech. Where did you and I come from? Where did man come from? From the earth. So you realize where you are coming from. It's the earth. So you put yourself down. Don't exalt yourself highly more than what you should. So you literally let some things pass. When you bend down and you lie prostrate, some things will just pass over you. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs, says that a wise man overlooks insults. You let insults just pass over you. You don't stand there to meet with insults. So if anyone wants to insult this year, you know what? I am just going to humble myself, put myself to the earth. Now, the picture that I got, learned from a very respectable man of God, is that of a staircase. When you're on a staircase and you want to go down, You are climbing down. Is there anything like that? To climb down, okay? So to humble yourself means you go on the staircase and you are climbing down. Climbing down. The same staircase. Now, to refuse to humble yourself means that you get to the staircase and you don't climb down willingly and then you are pushed. Same staircase. That's the picture of humiliation. If you don't humble yourself, you will be pushed this year. Instruction number 3. Bring a new wineskin to enjoy this new season. Bring a new wineskin to enjoy this new season. That's a very simple instruction. Bring a new wineskin to enjoy this new season. I think somebody's calling my phone to try and wish me Happy New Year. Don't worry, the year is happy and it's new already. Bring a new wineskin to enjoy this new season. Please let me throw this as an aside, okay? Because of what happened now, I think I'm inspired to share this. I will expatiate, if God wills, sometime during the year. You see, when you look at the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 16. The Bible says they were going to the place of prayer. The apostles were going to the place of prayer. And as they were going to the place of prayer, the Bible said there was a damsel, a lady, a young girl, who, you know, in that city gave people prophecy. So people would go, she would give prophecy, and she was making a lot of money for her masters because she had a spirit of divination. You know, divination. People, everybody likes to know tomorrow. If you know somebody who can tell you what will happen tomorrow, come on, what are you talking? So they will go to this woman, she will tell them. They pay money. Now the servants, the apostles of Jesus, came to that same city. And this same woman, who knows tomorrow, saw them and said, "These are the servants of God. Who will show us the way of salvation?" Was she prophesying? She was prophesying. Was that accurate prophecy? Very accurate prophecy. But she met them on the way to the place of prayer. Listen, this year, this is not part of it. This year, when you are going to the place of prayer, beware of distractions. Distractions. I'm here preaching now. Somebody's calling me. I put my phone here so that I can check some things while I'm preaching. I don't need a phone call. That's a distraction. They are subtle. They don't look wrong, but they will distract me from going to the place of prayer. And if those apostles had gone with that lady, yeah, she's telling the truth, you know. They will have validated something evil, and people will have been going to that lady more because the apostle said she gave accurate prophecy. Please tell somebody, beware of prophecy this year. You have a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible says the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. We're in a new year. People like prophecy. People like, please tell us what will happen this year. Come on. I'm talking to you. Have you not gone to check what are the prophets saying for 2020? We like it. Excuse me, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Iniquity will abound. Forget it. Do you want to hear prophecy? This year, iniquity will abound. This year, the love of many will wax cold. I hope you won't be one of those statistics. I hope you won't be one of those statistics whose love will wax cold and will dwell so much in iniquity. Because iniquity is looking very more attractive now. I am sorry for our children and their generation. I'm telling you, I am genuinely heartbrokenly sorry. Because if only we know what the battles our children are facing now, some of us will take our lives and our parenting more serious this year. Oh, their children. Their children. The Bible tells us I don't know, I'm just flowing in the Spirit, okay? The Bible tells us that some parents were bringing their children to Jesus. What happened? The disciples rebuked them. Don't bring the children here. Don't bring the children here. Don't bring the children here. Jesus heard about it. What did he do? He rebuked his disciples and told them, suffer not little children. Let them what? Come to me. Because these are the ones that will inherit the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing. And the Bible said he took the children and blessed them. Please, if you have your child with you, just bless them right now. Just tell them you will not be a partaker of the spirit of these last days. Iniquity. The spirit of iniquity. You will love God. That's why I brought you here tonight. Please tell them. And that's why I will keep bringing you to church. That is why I will keep bringing you. Whatever they tell you in school, we will come and erase it here. All right, let's go. That was a bonus. What number are we? Number three says, bring a new wineskin to enjoy a new season. Danger of that is that, according to the book of Luke, if you don't bring a new wineskin, and new wine is poured into old you, two things will happen. The new wine you are receiving will be spilled. It will be meaningless. And you, the wineskin, will be destroyed. So you are hearing some new instructions, word of God. You've been around. You partook of the retreat, but you are still holding on to the old wine. Old wineskin, everything you received will pour. And the new wine that's meant to bless you will actually be your destruction. But that won't be your portion. I'm sorry, but I have to say some things this year that it has taken me years to find my voice. And I realize if I don't say some things this year, God will judge me. God will judge me. So, don't let the new wine work against you. It should work for you. Bring the new wine skin. Number four, leave the former and old things so that you can leave. There are two leaves here. I don't know, oral English. Is it oral English? Noah is always usually my helper when it comes to diction and pronouncing words. So, leave, the first leave is L-E-A-V-E. Noah, can you help me? Leave. Okay, leave and live. Leave and live. Okay, so leave the former and old things so that you can live. So that you can live this new season. Clear instruction. Why? Abraham had to leave three things. Listen, three things. One, his father's house. Two, his kindred. Please go to, I think it's Genesis chapter 12. Yeah. Let's see there. He had to leave so that I can live. Yes. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country. First place to leave is country. Second place, from your family. And third, your father's house. Country, family, father's house. I am telling you, you know, I know there's some things that was shared with us during the retreat about ancestral, you know, curses, spirits, and, you know, jokingly we were told Adam and Eve had no ancestral spirits to battle with. It's true, they are the first man and the woman. But you and I, we came through some lineage. if we don't leave some things about our culture, our country, let me say one of the dangerous things I have a permission to say this year. Because most of us here are from a continent called Africa. And in the continent of Africa, there's something called African time. You do African time with God, right? The Spirit of God will leave you behind. The Bible talks about a set time with God. You do African time with God, the Spirit of God will leave you behind. That's one of the things we have to leave. There's a meeting, it starts XY time, be there on time. There are no jokes. And that is why a lot of us are being insulted. That is why some of us are battling with issues that's got to do with race. Any little thing, you bring up the race card. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm African? Is it because I'm this? Yes. The reason why they can use that against you is because you do African time. Please leave African time behind. And let's start doing kingdom time. And let me tell us, in the body of Christ, we are not Africans. We are Christians. I'm going to warn, and I'm saying this so that anybody watching this, I'm going to warn any of my friends that don't look like me, skin pigmentation. If I invite them here and they call us African church, I will rebuke them. We are not an African church. We are part of the body of Christ. Are we denying where we come, where we originated from? No, God planted us. God made sure that you and I have this kind of skin pigmentation, but don't define and insult Christ's church by using color to describe it. It is an insult. An insult for the church Jesus bought with his blood and died for. African church, white church, black church, blue church, green church. How come you don't have red church? Nonsense. All this nonsense in the body of Christ has to stop. Nonsense. There's something I'm working with now in this city of Liverpool on how we're going to unite the churches and to let us realize that this is not about church, this is about kingdom. It's because we're all comfortable in our skin. As if the kingdom of God has to do with skin. All right, let's go on. Where did I stop? Abraham had to leave to live. Correct? Two. Man that wants to marry has to do what? Leave his father and mother to cleave to the wife so that they can become one flesh. Let me tell you, right? The things I have seen and experienced, pastoring for years, one of the greatest problems, right, that collapses marriages is always family. 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 Did you hear me? You may not like what I'm saying. Family. When a man marries a woman, the two of them leave family to form a new family. Your new family is not a limited liability company where you are selling shares, where your father has 50% shares because maybe he paid for your wedding. Your father-in-law has 25% because he doesn't have enough money. Your sister, who is so influential, has 5% shares. And the two of you have maybe 1% share in your own family that God called you onto. You are setting up yourself for what I call DOA, dead on arrival family. Finally, Lot had to leave. Where did he leave? Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen, leave without looking back. So instruction number four is what? Leave so that you can live. Don't forget that. In the midst of all the humor, let's be serious. Okay, number five. Is that correct? So one more to go after this. Remember to shut the door every day. Shut the door every day. Shut the door every day. What do we mean by that? Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Now, I will share a brief testimony with us. Last year that is gone, and I'm not trying to remember the former things. I'm just bringing a testimony which is prophetic to the time we're in now. I was seeking God about the retreat. And I started receiving instructions about the retreat. Because I will not lie to you, left to me, I wanted to cancel that retreat. And it is such a great testimony to see what God did at that retreat. I will tell you, since I have personally been at these retreats, and I'm talking about 16, 17 years of being at that retreat every year, last 12 days of the year. This last retreat was the first retreat that God would not speak to me about anybody, but God kept speaking to me about me. One of the deadliest uppercuts and punch I received was that Pharisees are the ones who are always looking. And God warned me where I sat down there. If you are not careful as a pastor, you will become a Pharisee. You're always looking out for people. What is somebody doing? Who didn't come for the retreat? Who said something this year? Who disturbed me this year? Who? I'm busy looking out for people. I'm missing God for myself. By the grace of God, I learned to be alone with God. Matthew 6:6. God spoke to me. This year's retreat is different. I received the word. Behold, the new season. I am doing a new thing. And God spoke to me, shut the door. Matthew 6:6. Make it difficult for people to attend that retreat so that only the people who want to come will come. We introduce, yeah, we all register, we all pay, so that anybody who doesn't want to, I was telling some people, I was actually praying that people won't come. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, and my prayer was, Lord, only those you want to be there, let them be there. Let them be there. And as God was speaking to me, it's like the Holy Spirit now gave me a scripture, Matthew 6:6. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. The King James says, go into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly. There's clear instruction came. Make sure that this retreat this year is not on Facebook Live. Telling us the background to all this now. Make sure it's not streamed live. Just make sure. So that everybody comes and we learn to be alone with God. And then the first day of the retreat, the man of God we invited, I just told him, please, maybe some of you think we give them topics. We don't. Just tell them, please just go and pray and listen to God. And whatever God says to you, whatever, just say it. The first day, what did the man of God say? Shut the door. Shut the door. So instruction number six. But you don't shut this door just once. You shut it every day. Every day. Make sure you are behind the closed doors. You are in a place where you spend time alone with God every day. Do you know the wisdom there? Because the God that you're spending time with every day knows the end of that day from the beginning. Spend time. Not religiously. Just have an alone time every day this year. An alone time where you shut everything away. What's the first instruction? Please go back to your notes tonight. Always ask the Holy Spirit for help in everything and for everything. When you shut the door, it is now you and the Holy Spirit. Practice that more this year. You know, somebody sent me a text earlier in the day. I didn't want to, you know, I literally am learning now to control time. I'm on the phone and things like that because, boy, last year I almost died. It got to a point that I had no time for myself with God anymore. I was either busy counseling, going for one appointment, praying for somebody. Somebody is calling me. Somebody has texted me. My phone, over 100-something texts every day. I have to read. I have to do this. One day I had to ask myself, so if I have to do all this, what time do I even have to pray? Somebody sent me a text while I shut my door this morning. So later I read it. The person needed counsel. And I just simply waited. And I went later, I told the person, just ask the Holy Spirit. Please tell somebody. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Please tell somebody. Please tell them I can't help you. Just ask the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He's my helper. He will help all of us. We all have access to the Holy Spirit. Nobody is the sole administrator of the Holy Spirit. Nobody. And listen, there's no male or female Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that speaks to Dr. Patrick Ebo, right? It's the same Holy Spirit that will speak to Apostle Ezekwe. Same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't come as a girl to her and come as a boy. Same Holy Spirit. Wow, I've never given such a deep counsel in my life. Deep. That's deep, Ezekwe. Because the person wanted me to tell them exactly what to do. I said, that's exactly what to do. That's the Holy Spirit. If it was before, I wouldn't even have time to be in my own closet. I would have said something stupid to the person. And then when they take that decision, it's past what I said. It's not the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? Please be smart. All right, final instruction. Number six. This is very interesting. Please, somebody say graduate. Move away from only asking God for what he can do for you. That's half statement. But let me repeat it. Graduate and move away from only asking God for what he can do for you. I repeat, graduate. You must be a very fast writer. Okay. Move away from only asking God for what he can do for you. All right? So what are you graduating onto? Start asking God and seeking God to know who he is and what he is to you. Two different things. Just move away this year. And I will tell you what God told me. From just asking God for what he can do for you. Coming to God for what he can do for you. But now start seeking God and asking him, who and what are you to me? Graduate and move away from only asking God for what he can do for you and start asking God for who and what he is to you. How many of us like when you feel used by people? People just use you. The only time they will call you is when they need money. The only time they will call you is when they need a letter of recommendation. The only time they will call you is when... Please give me an example now. People have been calling you now. Please, who has been used before? Even though we are forgetting things behind. But those things that were behind before. When they want counsel. Okay? Who else has, who else has felt used? And people have used you. Sorry? The only time they call you is when they want you to child mind for them. They don't care whether you have cold or you have catarrh. School assignment. You feel used when they give you assignment. Okay, what do you mean? When they call you? Okay, when somebody calls you to help them for school assignment. In my time, we call it dubbing. You dub. D-U-B. Just dub. Somebody else will labor, do the assignment. All of you, the day of submitting, the person will just put it there and all of you will surround it and you dub. Copy. Okay, 21st century is copy and paste. No. This century is not copy and paste anymore. It's just take phone and click. Just click the thing and just find a way of pasting. Listen. Please stop using God and stop using people. You use God and use people when the only time you call them is when you need something. Because of what they can do. That's what you should graduate away from. If you don't like being used, stop using God. Stop using God. We are going to a place of maturity where God himself gets tired and weary. Not in a physical sense, but when God expects you to grow from being a babe unto maturity, you are still behaving like a babe, then you need to be taught one or two lessons so that you can grow up. Stop using God. So, graduate and move away from only asking God for what he can do for you. Start asking God for who and what he is to you. Please, that's the 6 instructions. Let's bring out the bread and the wine. Please, Ayo, can you get on the... Okay. Let's take the wine first and we'll just sing a hymn. I think Sapphire, do you know I've forgotten the hymn, but she will remind us. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's the 6 instructions. We will receive the next 6 at the from July. At the start of July, I will give us the last 6 instructions for 2020. So this is the first 6 instructions. Do you want us to go through it quickly? While we are bringing out the bread and the wine. Number 1. Who can read their notes? Okay, it's on the screen. Okay, number 1. No, that will stop you from bringing... I just want somebody to read it. Somebody who's ready. Who's ready? You've brought out your bread, brought out the body and the wine. Just read it for us while the rest of us are... Please bring out the...
Always ask the Holy Spirit for help for everything and in everything. Number 2, put off permanently and don't put back on what you have decided to forget last year. Number 3, Bring a new wineskin to enjoy a new season. Number four, leave the former and old things so that you can live this new season. Number five, remember to shut the door every day. Number six, graduate and move away from only asking God for what he can do for you. Start asking God for who and what he is to you.
All right, let's bring the bread out. Let's begin to talk to God right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Please, let's just pray. Pray briefly. Lord, everything you have spoken. Holy Spirit, bring more interpretation. Break it down to me. Make it simple. Make it simple. Help me. Be it unto me according to your word. I'll not be a forgetful hearer. Help me this year. This is a new year. A new decade has just started. I am not going to blow it. I am not going to blow the restored opportunities, the restored relationships, the restored wealth, the restored pathway, the restored principles. I will not blow it this year. In the name of Jesus. Please, can we rise to our feet? We're just going to take the communion together. And then we'll sing a hymn. And then we'll give to the Lord. And then we'll go after the announcement. Now, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. Please take the bread in your hand. Take the bread in your hand. And when he had given thanks, please give thanks right now. Just give thanks. Whatever you, Lord, just thank you for your word. Thank you for this new season. Thank you for the new thing. Thank you for the new thing. Thank you for opening my eyes to see this new season, to experience, not just to see, but to experience, to be a partaker. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I am still alive. I thank you for a new opportunity. I thank you. For family, for restored broken relationships, I thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, as we break this bread, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, let yokes be destroyed from our lives. Let everything that is not of you be broken. In Jesus' name. Please break the bread. Says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Please eat the bread. And if you want to pray, pray. As the body of Christ given to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are bruised. Your body was broken for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. By your stripes I'm healed. I am healed. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup. So it was the same manner. The first thing was he gave thanks. Please, this blood of Jesus was shed primarily to bring restoration, to bring reconciliation. But first of all, by cleansing us from all our sins and iniquities. So thank God that as you drink the blood of Jesus tonight, the Bible says the life is in the blood. You are drinking to yourself life, the life of God. You are drinking forgiveness. You are drinking cleansing. Please thank him. Everything the blood of Jesus, everything the blood of Jesus stands for, I thank you because the blood of Jesus speaks better things, new things than that of Abel. The blood that forgives me. I receive forgiveness so that I can give more forgiveness to others. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for everything you have done for me, everything paid for that I will enjoy this year. To your glory, to your praise, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And when he has supped, saying, this cup is New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Please drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Please, I need the choir. We're going to sing a hymn. We are going to sing this hymn. I don't know what key we are singing it from, but please get the key quickly. Just get the key quickly. You've not been told what key.